Amen. I said, whoever asked you to stand didn't have bad knees. I know that. We're so thankful for God giving us this day. Thank you for the brethren for leading us in spirited worship this morning and in the table, Lord's table. As we do always, our one another's one for another, we just pray that God continues to shower down his blessings upon us. We're thankful for him giving us this another day on this side of life. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity we have to be able to look at your word. And we just ask that we might be able to see you and see your hand at work, even through this message, that we might be able to see the truth of your word, that we might be able to experience and to hear and to understand what it is that you would have us to know and apply into our own lives. Lord, we thank you for the good, the bad. We thank you for the days of great joy and jubilation, and Lord, the times of great distress also, recognizing that you are the same God, that you continue, that you're the God of the rain and the God of the storm. Help us to put our faith, our trust completely into you. It's in Jesus' name we pray and we ask all things. Amen. I love the book of Philippians, probably one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I was starting to think back a little bit, not just in the book of Philippians, but just life. And you ever see a child, and even as a young child, you've maybe seen them develop their character over the years. And, you know, you can see traits in them today that you saw early on as a little child. And for myself, I remember kind of back as a child, I always had, there was always some desire I had to try to help somebody that was hurting. I remember as being in Brooklyn, New York, we were living with my grandmother, and my grandmother would always be sore. I don't know what she did, because she never worked and did anything, but she was always sore. Her muscles were always sore. And But I would find somehow I'd be getting oil. Somehow I'd be massaging her muscles and doing the dirty work, even the toes, you know, hey. But that's grandma, so I'm all right. Fast forward later on, you know, just seeing my mom kind of go through some different struggles and all of that. I remember her and my father were going through some things, and I just remember times that she would just be in pain, crying. And just that little bit in me that wants to help and wants to find out how you're hurting and see how we can help. And even, you know, as I shared with you just a couple of weeks ago, sometimes even when you don't know what to say, just be present and just be there for somebody. You don't always have to have the right words. The word, just you being there, your very presence speaks volumes in and of itself. And so I try to make myself, you know, be there for them, be there for people, period. I mean, as I'm looking at myself today, I'm still doing that. I'm still looking at people that are hurting with a desire to help ease the pain. But yet in these 50, yeah, you said it, you heard it right. This young man finally turned 50, all right? But in these 50 years, even as I've been ministering and preaching and teaching, you know, I come to this, some things that come up sometimes that I realize, look, I can't ease this burden. I can't ease this pain. I can do what, as I'm suggesting we always do, be present and help. But there's some things that we have to realize. Sometimes we get to this point, even in our own lives, that I can't. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not powerful enough. In and of myself, I can't. And the opposite side of that is that he can, God can. And we're gonna look at that through these scriptures, the fact that even when we get down to our last bit of strength and energy and will, whatever it might be, I've exhausted all, but God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. God doesn't operate by our same rules, and God has a love that's even greater than our own desire to help others. So as we look at this, I want us to look at it as we're going through these situations that could bring upon anxiety, but we're going to choose to do something different. We're going to choose to allow the peace of God to carry us and to live in that peace, even in the midst of the trials and the storms that we go through so often in life. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And I want you to realize what Paul's not saying. Paul's not saying that there are no situations that are going to come up in our lives that are going to physically cause us to have anxiety, to become a little fearful and all that. He's not saying that emotion, and you can just stop and bottle up that emotion. But really what he's saying is to not allow that emotion to dictate and to drive and to move us to doing something different than what God has told us to do. For instance, look at Peter as he's walking on that water. And as he's walking on that water, as long as his eye is connected with Jesus, what is he doing? He's walking. But as soon as he turns and he sees the storm, and not only just sees the storm, I mean, you should have a little bit of healthy concern about a dangerous situation that's there. But he takes your focus completely off of Jesus, and so the storm becomes overwhelmed with what the storm is saying, with the data that is being put out by the storm. It is saying, hold on a second. Don't you understand that I can kill you? Don't you understand that with me is great power and many people have, many boats have driven by him. Many people have drowned in what I have and in my power. And here is Peter, an experienced fisherman, understanding how dangerous the situation is. Peter knew. This wasn't just a regular storm. I mean, to get a fisherman scared of a storm is some kind of storm. Peter understands this storm, and all of a sudden his focus is taken off of Jesus, put onto the storm, and at that moment, that's what it says, he began to sink. Not just because there was some fear within him, but because he decided to allow the fear to direct him. Here we are, as children of God, recognizing the power of God. I mean, think about how many times God was angry with his people, and usually was angry with his people because they couldn't see God clearly. They couldn't see his strength. They couldn't see his power. They couldn't see how great he is, and oftentimes substituted something else for God. Paul says, don't be anxious, but instead fight that anxiety in every situation. How? With prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present these requests to God. And this is the key. This is the first key to anything. You remember Nehemiah? And Nehemiah, when he heard about the walls of Jerusalem, and what was the very first thing he did? Before he went to anyone, before he went to the king, he went to the King of Kings. He got down on his knees and prayed to God. And that is always our very first. When you find yourself in these anxious situations and you just can't get out, all the problems, and you're singing the woe is me songs, and nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Yeah, you know the song well, don't you? All right. So we're singing them those songs, and yet the Lord is saying, I'm here. I'm here waiting for you to call to me. I'm waiting for you to recognize my greatness and my power and my ability over all things, especially you as Christians, you as my children. You know, when my kids get hung up, especially a specific type of hang up, your parents understand that. They know how to call. They know how to call. All right? Dad, it's been rough a little bit. I just need a couple dollars. Especially, there she is, okay. Well, let me ask you, who are you gonna call? And it won't, and don't say Ghostbusters, okay? Who are you, in your time of distress, who do you call? And I think what we ought to do always is first put God first on that list. God wants to be first on every list. And on this list is vitally important too, because with your I've heard this so many times, which is so contrary to scripture. God's too busy. God's too busy to worry about my little thing. What? I mean, I want God. You work about world peace. That's big stuff. Lord, hunger. That's big stuff. Little old me and my suffering. You know, I think one of the most encouraging Bibles is John 11:35. Jesus wept. Why? Because it showed there was a funeral going on. Lazarus is dead and buried. It's rotten up and there, all that kind of stuff. Grave clothes already, and he's dead. It looks like everything is over. How many of us know that with Jesus, what looks like it's over with man is just beginning? Amen. And he comes, but the power of that verse is that he sympathizes with little old us. He already knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He told his disciples beforehand, right? They thought he was asleep. No, he's not asleep. He's dead, right? Jesus already knew. He already knew that he was going to perform this great miracle. He wasn't crying over Lazarus. He cried over the people who were mourning Lazarus. And he felt what they felt. And he had the power to do something. You remember that? I can't, but he can. I can't, but he can. And so he did. And that shows us a little something about Jesus, about God. He cares about us, about your little things, about your suffering, about the pain that you're going through. Yeah, it's not world peace and all that, but it's just as important to God what you're suffering and what you're going through right now as all these, what we classify the big things that are out there. And he wants you to come, even with the little thing. Lord, my pinky is hurting. I'm pointing to the wrong finger. My pinky. Pinky is hurting. He cares. You can take even the pinky hurting to the Lord in prayer. Present your requests to God. Oswald Chambers says, prayer is not asking, it's a longing of the soul, a daily admission of one's weakness. He also says, it's better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart. From prayer, we're connecting with God. And might I also say, we're dumping to God. Man, dumping praises onto him, dumping our requests onto him, and all and everything in between, we're sharing with God. And it says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, I I like the fact it first it prefaces this request that we ought to give it with thanksgiving. And when you're saying with thanksgiving, you know what you're really doing? You're saying thanks before there's something to say thanks about. Let me say that again. You're saying thanks because you're coming to God with a problem. You're coming to God with a situation, with some sort of petition. And we're laying it at the Lord's feet. And it says with thanksgiving. That means there's an expectation that, Lord, you're already going to do something. I don't know exactly what you're going to do, but you're going to do something. And I'm saying thanks for whatever it is you're going to do, because I already know that you are a God that's going to operate in my best interest, Lord. And so with thanksgiving, I'm already saying, hey, my hands are off of this. Lord, you've got this. You're going to take care of it. Matter of fact, you're going to perfectly take care of it, because, see, if I try to do it, I'm going to mess it up, right? I'm going to go down a road, and I think this is the right road to go down, and then come find out later there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? So I could be going all the way down this wrong road, and it's leading me to an exact opposite destination. But God, in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, he knows exactly the road we're going. And sometimes that road is got some bumps. It's got some potholes. It wouldn't be the one that we normally would choose, but it's the one that, you know, that God desires for us, that's going to develop us. And it says that in order to experience this peace comes because I've already, in my mind, already counted the battle won by the Lord. I've already counted it won, right? And so if I can do that, think about that, going to God in prayer. Lord, I'm praying for my spouse. See, when I'm praying for my spouse and I'm still in it, I'm still trying to operate, then I'm going to be like, well, he or she ain't where they need to be. God's going to use me as a vehicle in order to make sure that he or she gets there. Y'all follow me? Y'all walking with me on this? All right? God needs some amens. I can't be out here all alone by myself out here, all right? Y'all gonna need to help me out here, all right? So I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna tell him. I'm gonna show him. I'm gonna show her. I gotta make this even now. I'm gonna show her. And all of a sudden, you trying to model and you trying to make and all of that, and it's gonna come to a point where you are exhausted. Because you can only push that boulder up the hill but so long. See, you start in trouble, brother. I want you to see this real quick. I didn't mean this to be the lesson, but hey, 1 Peter chapter 3. I shouldn't start with the wives, because we should back up to the husbands first, because it's already slandered now. But anyway, the point is, likewise, ye wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word might be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Don't let the beauty be that outward adorning of the arranging of hair, wearing of gold, or putting on a fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Let me, just so we're balanced, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, what does this have to do with anything? This has to do with control. This has to do with letting God be God. This is has to do with saying, look, I can't fix a person. I can't fix a thing. I can't even fix myself. You know, as the brother was sharing about salvation, I don't save myself. It's the grace of God. What brought emotion and tears to his eyes? It was the same that brings emotion and tears to all our eyes as we think about how good God has been to us and how he's blessed us in so many ways and given us the salvation that we don't deserve. going back to the fixing part of it, fixing it. I can't, but he can. And how powerful is it to take this burden, whatever it is that's causing that anxiety, and recognize that God can perfectly deal with it, that while the doctor can't fix it, while the lawyer can't fix it, while the psychologist and can't fix it and all that, God can fix it. God can help us in whatever the situation is in order to bring it about and for us to be able to get that peace, knowing, look, I've laid it at his feet. And that's the moment of peace right there. I can't say God is going to fix it the way you're asking him to fix it. That's going way beyond scripture. I can't say he's always going to fix it the way you think he ought to fix it. But I can tell you this, that you can be assured, that you can have a weight lifted off of your shoulder as you place it down at his feet. And say, whatever happens, happens. Look, I remember when I was trying to fight for custody of my son. And I went into that courtroom with, man, so many different challenges walking into that door, being the color that I am, being the man. Usually the courts don't give, custody to the man, especially in Delaware, if you look at the statistics. At least I did it back then. So I had a lot of things that were challenging me at that moment. But God. God can see all the different challenges you have before you, and yet he's stronger than the judge. He's stronger than the Supreme Court. He's stronger than our rule of government. We take our burdens to the Lord, as the song says, and we leave it there. Why can we get that peace that passes all understanding? Because I've left it at the feet of one who's able to do something with it. He's not going to just kick the can down the road for a later time. No, he's going to deal with it in his way. And I can be assured that his way is always the best way. It may not be the way I'm even praying for, but I know that God's going to take care of it in his own way. And then he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And if you go back to the text, it's not just a one-time, the grammar of the text, it's not just a one-time, he'll guard you, or he guarded you, or he will guard you, as if it's a continual guarding. It's a continual thing. We have a power supply that we can continuously tap into. This isn't a one-and-done thing. This is God's, and just like Jesus told his disciples, you know, he gave them their great commission, and on the back end of it, what did he say? And lo, I am with you. How often? Always, even to the end of time. There's a continual presence of God in our lives. There's a continual availability for us to tap in and connect with God over and over again. But how often don't we use that line? Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want, and yet we're not saying anything. We're not even picking up the receiver to make the call. And then we wonder why we're walking around head down, and sometimes just even shaking our fists at God, or discontent with people, et cetera, et cetera. Listen. When you get in your worst moments, I want you to open the book of Job and just start at chapter 1. Hello. And I want you to see the pain he endured and the faith that he clung on to in those times of great, great, great distress. And I don't know if I could be like Job, but I want to be like Job. I want to be like Job. We need to take those moments when we're having our moments, take those moments to remember the suffering of saints that have gone on before, their dedication, that they're continuing to hold fast and not turn back. The early Christians, even in their being persecuted for their very faith, they held on to the end. And hey, I'm not going to minimize anyone's burden. Whatever it is, whether it's health, whether it's finances, it's the same list that we all kind of go through. But whatever it is, I would dare say that it's nothing in comparison to some of the things that they were going through. And I know that's hard to hear sometimes because my pain is still my pain. But the reason I'm saying that isn't to say, look at how great they were. They were regular people. That's what I want you to see. They were regular people, just like you and I, who decided to put their hands to the plow and not look back. And whatever came at them, whatever distress, whatever problems, they were determined to finish the course. That's what I want us to see, and that's the encouragement I hope that we can receive, that they're not weird superheroes. They were regular people with regular struggles that were serving a great, wonderful God, and decided that even the things that this world could give us and could give them was nothing in comparison with what God has in store. See, ultimately, we're talking about storms, but the greatest storm is the storm of life. You know, life eventually comes to a completion. All of our lives are going to come to that completion. And I want my life in the hands of someone that can raise it, just like Jesus raised Lazarus, that can preserve, you know, where I am and who I am, and that I can reign with God forevermore, be with him forever. And that comes with having this peace that comes with God. The peace, same type of peace that brother was talking about earlier. The peace that brings tears to your eyes when you recognize I am unworthy of this great gift. I'm unworthy of the salvation. And so Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. This justification means that the Lord is now looking at us differently. He looks at us just as if we've never sinned. He looks at us as if we are righteous. Even as blood is flowing through my veins, I still have this same struggle that all of us have called sin. And yet when God looks at me, he looks at me different. I'm clothed with Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26-27 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And that was there just in case someone said in Romans 5:1, well, he didn't say anything about baptism. He didn't say, you know, no, it's all connected. This is all part of the process. The part of the process is you recognize that you need a savior, that you're sick. You need a physician. And the sickness that we have is called sin. And because of that, we need to rid ourselves of that. But this is the problem. I can't, but he can. I can't rid myself of sin, but he can. And so he gives us this means by which to be able to do it, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, you're children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself. When he sees you now, he sees you with Jesus' clothes on. He sees you through the eyes and seeing the righteousness of Jesus and not yourself. And so with that great blessing, there's just one question. What are you waiting for? Why not come and receive this great gift of salvation? Why not be justified? And the Lord, as he looks at you, he looks at you just as if you'd never sinned. Why not be now coming into the family of God, becoming a children of God, even on this morning? Acts 22:16, Ananias asked Peter this question. He says, and now, what are you, excuse me, he asked Paul really Saul of Tarsus, this question. And now, what are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe there's one here this morning ready to respond to this. What are you waiting for? Don't let anything hold you back. This is your morning. This is your opportunity. If you're ready to come right now and put the Lord on in baptism, the water is ready. All things are ready if you're ready. If you're ready, why don't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation. There's a fountain.